And welcome back to the Sundance Real, Leslie Thatcher and Katie Eldridge. Along with our first guest this hour, I have Chapman and McLean Way. They are the directors of the film Battered Bastards of Baseball. Good morning to both of you.
Sorry for naming it that. I know it's not easy to
I was going to say, how much pleasure have you gotten watching
say it
people
10 times
say
really
it.
Fast. It's a little bit of a tongue twister. But thanks for having us on this morning.
Yeah, well, you guys are both so young.
Yeah.
Football fan, or baseball fans, I should say.
Generally, I think so. Probably more film fans than sports fans. But we grew up playing sports and baseball, and we come from a baseball family. So definitely something that's been a part of our lives.
Absolutely. Actually, the main character in our film is our grandfather, and he was a baseball fanatic throughout his whole life. And from a young age, he actually took a big interest in my baseball career. So he actually we actually had a very close relationship through baseball. So I was probably more the baseball fan in the family.
Okay, so I didn't realize that Bing Russell, about whom this film is about, is grandpa, huh?
He's our grandfather.
He is.
Yeah.
He's our grandfather.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, so tell us a little bit about Bing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And his story.
We were very close with Bing growing up. I mean, literally, he lived four houses down from us. And so we always kind of knew that he lived this kind of storied life throughout his life. He had a lot of photos in his house of him with kind of Yankees. He was a bat boy for the Yankees, him and like Lefty Gomez. And then we always knew that he kind of owned this minor league baseball team in Portland, Oregon. And it wasn't until Chap actually kind of stumbled across a photo in Bing's office, and it was of the 1973 Portland Mavericks. And it was kind of like a baseball photo like we had never really seen before. Today, baseball photos are kind of so clean cut. And this baseball photo, jerseys were on backwards. Guys were drinking beers. There was a dog in the photo. I mean, it's in the film. You should see it. I mean, it's a great, great team photo. And Chap came across it and showed it to me, and kind of a light bulb went off. And it was, you know, I think our initial reaction was like, let's just learn more about what this team was about.
Yeah. Well, Bing Russell, your grandfather, he was actually an actor. I mean, that's what he did for a living. And we played, what, Deputy Clem from Bonanza?
Deputy Clem, 13 seasons on Bonanza. And he was kind of a character actor. He was he worked with a lot of great actors like John Wayne and Steve McQueen and Ronald Reagan. But he was always kind of like a small supporting actor. But I think he had over 600 television credits, like a lot of but really, I think his biggest passion was the stage, was the theater. He loved putting on a show. He loved to perform. And so when he started this baseball team, it was really a combination of his love to give a show and bring people to a stadium to watch sports. So he kind of got to put together both of his main passions.
So he's able to balance that career okay? Both careers?
Yeah, he was. He was kind of, I think, semi-retired in 1973. That's when Bonanza went off the air. And that's when he was kind of laying around the house and going out in the backyard a lot. And Kurt, his son, who's an actor, was the one that said, Dad, you know, baseball has always been your first love. You know, why don't we maybe go up to Portland and start this baseball team? So that's what kind of ignited the journey for them.
And what happened between you finding that photo and then what was the stories that you uncovered that led you to making the film?
Yeah, so basically, the first thing we found out was that it was an independent baseball team. At the time, we didn't know this, but it was the only professional independent baseball team in the 70s. All the other minor league teams were affiliated with a major league team. So when we read that, we're like, okay, well, what is the difference between independent baseball and organized baseball? And, you know, how does independent baseball work? And what are the challenges inherent in not being affiliated with a major league team? And that's when we came across kind of like this David versus Goliath story where he was at a real disadvantage. Money-wise, he was at a disadvantage because he wasn't allowed access to the professional baseball draft. So he had to field a team of players that nobody else wanted. So these were all players that had been rejected from other professional teams. And then he had to compete against these better teams. So we kind of came across this really kind of small, independent team going up against like the larger powers.
The underdogs.
Yeah. Underdogs.
The shirts on backwards and the dogs.
Yeah. Exactly.
And they kind of ruffled the feathers of organized baseball. But the story kind of came into our lives in very interesting ways, too. Growing up, we were always sent Big League Chew from the creator of Big League Chew. And when you kind of grow up, you don't really ask too many questions. You kind of just accept what's happening in your life. But it wasn't until we got into the story that we realized, like, oh, well, the pitching coach for the Portland Mavericks invented Big League Chew during his time with the Mavericks. And then we had always read there was a book that we had always loved called Ball 4 that was written by a pitcher named Jim Bouton. And when we were doing research on the team, we found out that, well, Jim Boughton played for the Portland Mavericks. And around that time, we were also getting into filmmaking. And one of our favorite filmmakers was Todd Field, who did In the Bedroom. He's an Academy Award-nominated director. And he turned out that he was a bat boy for the baseball team. So we kind of had all these previous stories that we knew about. And then as we were doing research, these characters kind of kept on entering being story. And that's when we kind of realized that we had an absolutely amazing story on our hands.
Yeah, I think Todd Field's been described as the most successful bat boy in baseball.
Yes.
Did most of the archival photos and footage come from your grandfather, or did you have to seek outside sources?
A combination of both. For the photographs, he has a large library of photo albums that we were able to go through. A lot of our footage came from Portland television stations up there. Also, I think Bing had always kind of planned on doing a movie on the Portland Mavericks, so he had like a personal cinematographer that would film a lot of the games and a lot of the action. So we were able to hunt down some of that footage. That's kind of real special, kind of unique footage in the film.
Is this your first film?
First feature debut.
Yeah, first feature-length film.
So why did it go in the premieres category then?
I'm not too sure. Yeah. I think
because of the Russell name?
Maybe because of the Russell name, yeah. Probably that's what we never have heard for sure. But yeah.
We don't really know. Maybe ask Sundance themselves. We're happy to be there. I mean, we're in unbelievable company, so we couldn't have been more thrilled, not only to find out that we got into Sundance, but that we're screening in the documentary premiere section. It was absolutely amazing.
Sure. So Kurt is your dad or your uncle?
Our uncle. Yeah.
He's our uncle.
Well, now he also has a minor baseball background too, doesn't he?
Oh, he did.
Baseball background. I was on the path to become a professional baseball player. He played double-A baseball in the Angels organization.
Yeah, he played in El Paso.
And had a really bad arm injury and tore his rotator cuff and kind of ended his baseball career, which was right before the Portland Mavericks. And so, Bing had ended Bonanza, Kurt had ended his baseball career, and that's when they said, you know what, let's maybe start a team and we can run the front office. And so I think that's where Kurt went after his baseball.
Yeah. So how much of the story is it like the Bull Durham story where, you know, we have very eccentric characters, you know, players of dreaming to go on to the show, as they called it?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's very much a part of it. Like I said, all these players were given a second chance to play baseball because they'd all been discarded and rejected from other teams. So there's definitely that element of not giving up on a dream and not giving up on a passion. And I think that was one of the main things that the community of Portland kind of identified with and then really got to be able to understand these players and these characters and support them on kind of them following their dreams and their passion.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that there's something about minor league baseball and a community, the spirit of the community at minor league baseball games. And I think that the Portland Mavericks the community was just so heavily involved in the team. They broke attendance records. They were incredibly valuable asset to the community of Portland. And you got to understand is that before the Mavericks, Portland was kind of a wasteland for professional baseball. They had lost their longtime minor league affiliate who had just kind of skipped town and left for Spokane, Washington, which was a city that was one third the size of Portland. So, I mean, Portland was just had almost given up on baseball by the time that the Mavericks kind of came into town. So really, the documentary kind of covers this kind of blossoming love story between the Portland Mavericks and the community of Portland.
Well, my first softball team ever was the Mavericks, and I never understood why, but now I know because it was right about that time.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I'm sure there's.
I think it might have been one of the first professional sports teams named the Mavericks. I'm not sure.
And it was an appropriate name for the team. We have to say.
What about being siblings and doing this? I mean, that's a lot of time to spend with family. Is this a natural thing for you? Is this something that you guys want to continue collaborating on?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's always a journey making a project with your brother that's got its advantages and disadvantages. But as a whole, we've had a lot of fun. And we've got to learn a lot more about our grandfather, too, which was kind of an amazing experience. So, I think we're looking forward to working together on that whole project.
Absolutely. This has been a family story. And we kind of entered the story because we knew how special it was. But we're looking forward to making documentaries in the future and more films, too. So we're looking forward to
it. So who's older and you had the final say?
I'm older. I studied filmmaking and Mac was a history major. So a little bit maybe more of the editing and stuff and camera I did.
But you beat him up.
Exactly. And Mac did a lot of the archival research and a lot of unearthing of just some great material that's in the film and great ideas on story and narrative. And so it was really great. Great working with them.
When's the next screening?
Tonight is your premiere.
It's our premiere. 5:30 at the Mark.
Very cool.
So we're looking forward to it.
Okay.
Awesome.
Best of luck to you. Right. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you.
Pleasure to meet you.
Bye-bye.
KPCW News Time now, 9:23.
Hi, I'm Kelly from San Francisco Design, longtime supporter of KPCW. We provide a mix of European and mountain contemporary home furnishings for a unique Park City lifestyle. Our showrooms are in Park City and Salt Lake, and both offer complete design services. We're on the web at sanfrandesign.com.